If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This is The Boop Show, episode 279 for March 2nd, 2021. Everyone, welcome back to the show. It's good to be here. I'm Scott Johnson, Brian Dunaway over there. What's going on?
Well, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm all right. You got Adidas hat on. Your Adidas wearing on my head with the thing and the stuff, and I went to bed.
But what about this?
Oh, shit.
Walk up.
Yep. Brian's got a Pac-Man shirt for those at home who can't see what he's wearing, and it's pretty cool. Looks really nice. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Do you have the other arm going? Remember the interstitials where he got naked? Do you remember that? One of the ghosts got naked?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
That was weird. It was
And then they had a baby Pac-Man. That's what happens when you get naked.
Well, no, because it was the ghost. It was Blink.
Oh.
Was it Blink?
No, it was Clyde, right?
That was a red one. Isn't the red one Blinky?
Isn't that Clyde?
Stinky? No, Clyde's like the dumb one. He's the pink one. So, like, you got the way it worked was Pac-Man comes running across the screen, and in the middle of the screen's a little hook, like a nail sticking out of the ground, like 3 pixels or nothing. And they go over it. Pac-Man goes over it, no problem, keeps going. But the red Pac-Man comes, snags on the thing, and then it pulls and it tears, and then he sits there looking stupid. Then the next time you get to one of these interstitials, he's got the pulled thing, chases Pac-Man all the way off screen, and then comes running back the other way, and he's just like a naked little doodle guy.
That makes sense. But let me tell you something. I just Google searched Pac-Man ghost naked. Mm-hmm. Don't.
Oh, wow. Really? We got a little...
Top 3 results, Pornhub. Apparently there's a fetish. I didn't know. I don't want to know.
Not good. Is that true? Really? Hold on.
I don't know. Like I said, I closed the Google search. I was like, nope. Wrong.
Naked Pac-Man ghost. Let me just see. What do we get here?
I don't need that in my Google search history.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, you're right. I'm off that now, and never again shall I peer into the void.
I didn't believe you. Oh, now I'm believing you.
Well, I just thought, how could that be? Like, look, sometimes you just want to find a thing from your childhood, and instead it gave me things I'll never be able to erase from my mind. Well done, Internet. Time for us to... I should mention this. I'm not playing Shipbreaker again until this new patch comes out. And everybody's like, Scott, what's going on with Shipbreaker? I'm not talking about it all the time anymore. No, listen, still my game of the moment. I love that game. But when I heard their 1.2, whatever the heck it is, or I forget what the version is, but their big patch coming out that revamps the progression system, wipes your saves. So I don't want to start over. I mean, I don't mind starting over. I have no problem starting over. Like, that isn't an issue. But what I don't want to do, now that I'm aware of it, is go pound away at another progression that's about to go away. So hurry up with your patch so I can play your game again. That'd be nice.
Oh, that's rough. That's a rough game to play, people. Don't do that.
Well, look, if you're like me, I get value out of some early access experiences, and this is definitely one of those. But you do run into that risk that sometimes there's character wipes, sometimes there's a whole new system thrown in that maybe you didn't expect, or whatever. That's part of the deal.
It seems to be so much more the norm now than it used to be.
Well, it's for early access, it is. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I think this may be too... And we're going to talk about this later when I talk about my early access game I reviewed this week, so I'm not going to get into it too deep.
Well...
But let's just say it's... I don't know if my experiences have increased or if more games are going to early access and staying there longer than in history.
We probably could do a little investigative reporting and find out. We could probably dig in there.
It feels like it.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Is it true? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I suspect there's some truth to it, or else you wouldn't feel that way. So we got to figure out where is the truth coming from and what's the deal. But Shipbreaker, I check it every day and go, is that patch out yet? No? Okay, I'll come back. I'll come back tomorrow.
How about now?
And then I'll come back and check again, because right now it's all I want to play, but I need I need the new thing where from then forward they're keeping progression. That's what I need.
Oh yeah.
Fall Guys coming to Switch in the summer. But also, did you hear the Fall Guys developer got scooped up by Epic, so now they own them.
Oh, that's epic! Yeah. That's great.
Well, is it though? Is it great? Is it?
I'm gonna go with yes. So far, Epic has done okay. They've been.
Well, how about the stuff they bought?
Like, they've been okay.
They bought what? Rocket League. How's that done since then? Is it gone okay?
It's fantastic.
Well, it's a great game, right? But you know, how's it going? Is it? Are people playing? Are we? Are they into it still?
I think so. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, my kids are every week. Let's play some Rocket League. I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't want to play Rocket League.
I like Rocket League a lot too.
But I really have to be in the mood, and I'm not in the mood most days, it seems.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. But maybe there'll be some fun crossover, like you'll get a Fallout guy running around in Fortnite. And
Oh God! No, we need more Fortnite crossovers. That's the question. Does anybody still play that?
Oh, dude, that thing's a money machine. It's money disgusting.
Machine just cranks it out.
I think some of my medium to older gamer friends are done with it pretty permanently. There, they don't care anymore. Yeah. They're sort of over it. But there is a huge swath of kids, age I would say as young as 6 up till 14. This is all they want
to
do.
It's really easy and the thing they got about this game is really easy to hop in. Play, and so every time they do one of these new themes, it's like, oh, this week we're going to introduce some Star Wars characters, or they just a constant churn of things that pique your interest.
Yep, it's happening.
And it's like, yeah, you just jump in. You go, all right, I'll load that up for 5 minutes and take a look.
Tondragosa says, WandaVision crossover when? I'd say any minute now.
Oh, any minute now, yeah. Right?
The Vision. He'll have a laser beam in his forehead. Hey, one other thing. System Shock's being made as like a reboot or something. I've read a bunch about it for a while. Yeah, but there's a demo, and I didn't know that. So I guess this is part of that Steam Days demo business.
Right. It just dropped this past week. I had no idea. I had heard talk about it, but I didn't know how close it was or anything like that. But they're looking at release date summer 2021. And I played the demo over the weekend. I didn't get too deep into it, but let's just say I had a lot of fun. Mm. And it's very colorful. It's very just it's immersive. I enjoyed what I saw.
Was it
how
scary,
how deep it goes was the question.
Was it scary? Because they need to be scary.
It was shocking. There was a few moments where I was I don't know, maybe it isn't as creepy and scary because we've had so many games since the second System Shock was released. Yeah. And last time we saw System Shock, we've seen a lot of scary space stuff that's done really well. So it had a factor of creep, but it wasn't like I remember it back in the day.
Yeah,
but
the original,
like I said, just
original
a demo.
Game. Yeah, the original game was really was hella scary, but we are early in this process, so we'll see how that goes.
There was a couple of jump scares. I was like, oh, look out there, dude.
Nothing like weird long neck lady teacher Little Nightmares 2.
Oh my God. See, now that's a slow dip into insanity, what that Little Nightmares 2 is. So that's a little bit different kind of scare.
Yeah. Ugh. Dreamt about her last night. I'm not kidding either. She was in my dream.
Was she chasing you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's all she does.
Yeah, I was trying to take a poo and she wouldn't stop chasing me.
That's all she does. She don't care. She's all about just putting her head in a hole and following you with that giant doll head of hers. Right. And
I think what makes it so creepy is how the characters in Little Nightmares 2, they chase you, follow you. And then when they get you, it happens so fast.
Yeah.
It's just like you just all of a sudden just almost disappear. Yeah. It's just really creepy.
It really gets you. That game still continues to throttle me. I'm going to try to get more of that in this week. So watch for more of that. Yeah. But now this. Our games of the week. Let's begin with my pick. Now, I ran into this kind of accidentally.
Oops.
Sat down on the TV there. Well,
In front of the TV. That is an accident.
Yeah, I should clear that up. Sat in front of the TV, thought, let's see what's going on with Xbox Live today. Game Pass. I want to see what's on Game Pass, something new, something whatever. Checking out everything that's in there, all kinds of stuff. And one in particular grabbed my eye. It was this game called The Tourist. And it's not spelled right. It's T-O-U-R-Y-S-T, which is an incorrect spelling of tourist. Anyway, I didn't know what that meant, but I thought, all right, show me what
why?
You got.
Did you ask him why?
I didn't ask why.
Is there a why?
I could have asked why. I didn't ask why. By the way, this is a game that is not only just on Game Pass, but it is available on PS. No, I'm sorry, on Switch, PlayStation,
PSP. Nokia.
No, the N-Gage. Yeah, the N-Gage. It's on
the N-Gage.
It is a very odd little pixel-looking 3D pixel. So like
it's kind of like a voxel, but it's got right.
It's very voxely.
Right?
Oh yeah,
yeah, very voxely.
Lots of little squares involved. You know, it's like taking an 8-bit game and making it 3D. It's really cool lighting effects, really awesome water effects. Just a very nice looking game. A tilt shift effect that makes everything in the distance seem all blurry and whatnot. Your character is this dude on vacation, and he's pretty cool. He's got like Elvis pompadour, sunglasses, a bad mustache.
Pretty cool.
His shirt's basically Magnum PI's shirt.
So we're in like Hawaii. Then,
yeah, like Hawaii. Right? Well, sort of. I mean, there's an island you go to called Abizai instead of Abizu or Abiza.
Oh, okay.
Abizu, whatever it is. So they fake a lot of these like vacation spots that you would go to or whatever. So it's Minecrafty, but not really. Like, you're not building anything, but the look of it is definitely kind of everything's all squared off.
Yeah, it looks like the Minecraft dungeons.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah, fair enough. This is third person behind the shoulder stuff, though, and you can zoom way in. So a little different than that. But also the gameplay is totally different. So the best way I can explain this would be like, hey, do you like open world? What's going on with this puzzle deal? I got to get to that place. How come that place is too high to reach? I better learn an ability to get me up there, blah, 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 right? A little bit of that, and you jam that in with some voxel graphics, and then a little bit of Zelda, a little bit of Zelda ideas.
I was about
ideas.
To say, it has a little bit of Zelda in it there, it looks like. Yeah. Yeah,
and it's very much got a Zelda thing going on. The dungeons, or the, not really dungeons, the crypts and temples and stuff, that you end up going into as this tourist are very Zelda-like, like
right.
semi-difficult to kind of hard puzzles to get through. And if you want to unlock the next door, you got to figure out how the hell you're going to do it. And they're devious
right now.
Yeah, he's in the shower. He likes to shower. Everything's interactive. There are a lot of stuff is. You can turn on fans and showers.
Do you have to wake the windfish at all at any point in time, or is that...
No, there's none of that. You don't even have to stay in the freaking vacation place, because the whole point of it is to get into the temple in this zone, get the little orb out of it, and then you get to get in the boat and go to another island and then solve all the problems over there and do the same thing. And you're trying to collect these temple bits and collect a bunch of coins while you're at it so you can afford stuff. And you take pictures of things and you get money for that when you come back to your home base and give it to the guy that runs the local store.
The game is kind of like, it's got like a tiki thing going on. It kind of reminds me of like, if they said, hey, what if we took the Brady Bunch on vacation, except it's going to be Magnum PI.
A little bit. Yeah. I do wish there was some character customization. There's not any. I just think you could have fun with it and make that guy look however you want, but as it stands, he's just a little Magnum looking dude. On the Series X and S, it's the port on there is meant for those devices, meaning you're going to get the benefits of those new consoles, like super high frame rate, not RTX, what am I trying to say? Ray tracing stuff is in there. It just looks a lot better and runs a lot better there than it does, say, on the Switch version or whatever. But that's where I'm playing it. I got it on Game Pass, and I ran into it just totally by accident. I was digging through Game Pass and just saying, let me see what's in here. And I got down to the T's. I was doing it alphabetically, and I'm like, what the frick is the tourist? I haven't even heard of this.
Down to the T's. Oh my God. You're pretty desperate.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not so much desperate as I was just looking for like specific stuff. I'm like, what catches my eye? And this caught my eye for sure. There's this temple.
I've seen the cover art to this before, and you know, it's very upbeat and you know, it's bright, it's got a lot of good colors on it, and it's enticed me before, but I've never really
the problem. Okay, but I'm glad you brought that up. I have a problem with the cover art, because the cover art is a cartoon, you know, hand-drawn looking whatever, and I don't think it does this thing justice. I think the cover should have been showcasing this weird 3D voxel stuff,
because it's attractive. Cool, game. I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's a neat thing. So as you can see, he's up on this mountain right here. People at home, I apologize, you can't see this, but the garden he was just in, told him what pattern he had to do. And so he's got to remember what buttons to push. Oh,
this is very Zelda. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time. Once you get in, you may even have to fight stuff, but you don't fight by punching or swinging stuff at people. You fight by avoiding them or having traps go off or like different methods of combat that aren't just you and a sword.
Right. Well, you're on vacation. I mean, what are you going to have in your right. Hawaiian shirt?
Right. I didn't bring any weapons to this stupid Nothing. Vacation. But once you do that, these temples open up and you go inside them, and then they become big rooms and different rooms you can go into. And it's like, it's, you know, suddenly this like Zelda dungeon.
This guy's having trouble figuring out this puzzle. Was this you playing? Please tell me it's you
no,
playing.
No, this is somebody else. So if you look over there at the garden, or if he did, he'd see it. But he's right. not.
Oh,
he's
I
not
see it.
Attention.
I see it in the background. I,
yeah,
I saw
way
it
over there in
there.
The corner. And he's forgetting that he was over there and had a pattern to follow. So if he just follows the pattern, he'd be good. But it is tricky. This is the easiest puzzle in the game so far. I've done other stuff where I banged my head against the wall for about an hour and almost threw the controller at the TV. And then the TV said, don't do that. And I said,
wow,
why?
Wow, wow.
And then I just took a second, breathed, and went, oh, this game is devious. It's not a simple. This is. I don't think your average, like, there he goes. He got lucky. He got in
he
by
got
total
lucky.
Chance. Anyway,
he did get lucky. He yeah. just kind of like randomly happened.
He was just jumping around. That worked out great for him. But anyway, so you know, you're in this dark little space and it's pretty freaky in there. And anyway, it's just got a rad bunch of business going on. And this weird snaky thing is always something you have to kind of face.
Oh, and, what is that? Oh, it's moving.
Yeah, look at that. And this guy doesn't realize what he's supposed to do. He's trying to get away from it, but now he's starting to realize, oh, I need to have it light those squares. Okay, here we go.
Are they aliens or are they like some kind of ancient?
Don't know yet.
Mystery?
Don't know yet. Yeah. Probably is my guess. My guess is it's some, you know, weird shit like that. But I haven't gotten that far in the story, nor is it much of a story. It's all, you know, pretty goofball. But lots of really cool particle effects and the world destruction stuff, which you don't really cause yourself. But when it does happen, a lot of cool physics going on, stuff like that. See, he's going to struggle with how to put that up there. And it's because he doesn't know what I know. Anyway,
you got to light. Yeah, you got to light something up, right?
Well, he has to actually get that thing up there and like huck it up there. But he's doing it wrong. He'll figure it out. Anyway, point is, rad little discovery. I didn't even know this was a thing. Apparently, this was shown at Nintendo's 2019, one of their directs for indie things that they do.
Oh.
And I didn't see it, so I missed that announcement or whatever, but apparently this was part of that showcase. And then when it did come out, it came out first on Switch and then everything else, I guess, as back far as November this came out on Game Pass and... the Microsoft Store and other stuff. It's not on Steam, which is weird. I don't know why it's not there, but no
that
Steam
interesting.
Option on PC.
So, is there any multiplayer aspect at all? Because this reminds me of playing like any Lego game I've played. And I would love to like kind of fart around with somebody else.
I mean, it's definitely got the potential for that, but no,
right.
It's a purely single player experience. Second island you go to, this Ibizu island, is great because there's a bunch of people dancing at like a disco outside and you have to go make the party turn up because it's not the best party. So you got to find all these ways to turn the party
up. So you
got to
turn up. You got to turn down for what?
You got to turn down for what? Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep. What? All right.
And you got to like turn on different lights or talk to the people or just figure it out on your own. The game does not hold your hand. So if you're looking for something that's like kind of hard, it looks cute and is easy to get into, but is sort of hard. This is it, man. This is your game, I think.
I like it.
It's got style for days. I really, really dig it, and I'm going to recommend it. Again, it's called The Tourist, T-O-U-R-Y-S-T, and it was a lovely surprise. I love when I find stuff like this. Came out as, let's see, July 30th last year on the Switch. And of course, later on the other $19.99 on most platforms. If you have Game Pass, you just play it. The developer is Shin En Multimedia, whatever that is, whoever that is. They published animated.
Those guys.
Yeah, those guys. And it's very cool. And if you want to go watch, there's lots of gameplay on YouTube and that sort of stuff. So do check it out.
I'm going to check it out, if I was wanting to get it on the Switch, it costs like $20, right? Unless
I
use some of my little Switch points.
Well, let's see.
I got like 50 Switch coin. No, Switch coins. What do they call them? Nintendo coins? Where are they?
Whatever those are. Those things, the fake money they give you for buying stuff on their store.
Yeah, so I can save 50 cents on the next thing.
Here it is. $19.99. That is correct. And again, okay, so chat, here, you can see what I mean about the art. You've seen this video. That's the cover art. Now, it's okay. It's fine cover art. It's decent art and everything. But that doesn't.
That does not
do
like
it.
The game we just watched.
Yeah, it doesn't
I like
do
that.
It.
I like that art. If I was like picking up an indie comic, that would be the style. I'd be like, yeah, I like this.
Yeah, or this looks like some kind of roguelike, you know, I don't know, something else.
Right.
It is not representative of this weird 3D voxel.
But that's, you know, it's not a ding on the artist who created the content. It's just that it doesn't sound like good communication.
Yeah.
Well, I like the little postcards, everything. Just all these little voxel bits. I noticed earlier, like you were like watching or had a TV turned on in the hotel room, yeah. And it was casting like a really cool particle lighting effect.
Well, I had a little. It has a little Nintendo really console looking thing next to it, and you can turn that
right.
on, and you can't really do anything with it, but it's still pretty neat.
Right.
Like but yeah, it's a cool game that kind of forces you to figure out what the hell you're doing as you go. You can't just. You can't just fake your way. Well, the guy did on that one puzzle, but for the most part, you can't.
Right.
With the exception
of that stupid luck that guy had.
Yeah, exactly. I had to do a fight with a creature in one of these temples that was not easy. Like it was like legit hard, and I didn't. There's no help. They don't help you. And in a way, I'm fine with that because.
Yeah.
I could always look something up on the internet, but the other reason I'm okay with it is because it felt really satisfying when I figured it out.
Right. But that's the point, right? That's the point of games sometimes. It's
yeah.
Like,
well, that's
especially
video games.
A puzzle game. You don't want too much walking, hand holding in a puzzle game.
Yeah. You don't want Christopher walking in your video game.
No, you don't want Christopher walking out of there. Were you trying to?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
With a Y.
Actually, I do want that. What am I saying? I want that.
Of course.
Anyway, go check it out. Tourist is the game again with a Y there at the end. YST at the end. Brian, let's talk about another game I also played called Ultimate Atom: Caverns of Chaos.
Ultimate Atom: Ancient Domains of Mystery. Scott, did you play the first one of these?
No.
When it was just Atom.
No.
Ancient Domains of Mystery.
I've heard of it. I never played it. Just heard of it.
I had never heard of it or played it, but apparently it is a core roguelike game that people seem to have great affection. People who really love this game really love it, and people who hate it really hate it. What you gonna do? Anyway, Early Access Ultimate Atom: Caverns of Chaos. It brings that original Atom into the modern age with some new graphics, but somewhat the same gameplay and the same storyline. Just, you know, something visual to look at. You could play this Ultimate Atom in ASCII mode, I believe, in this release, as well as you can play the original if you go to the developer's website, which is Assemble Entertainment right now.
Well, because the original game was an ASCII game, right? It was some crappy.
It was an ASCII game. Yeah. You can. I actually loaded it up on my Linux box and try it out just to see comparatively. Because while playing Ultimate Atom, I had some questions that needed answering, and I was like, "Well, is there an early access? Is it a complete game yet, or is it not a? Has it really not translated from the original?" So I checked it out. The ASCII mode. The ASCII is amazing. I said it is a really cool game, and this is also a really good game, but it's still early access, and they haven't gotten everything in the game yet. So basic combat is here.
Yeah.
The combat is by the way, the characters, the visuals of this game is a roguelike dungeon crawler, and the visuals are chibi-like. Do you like chibi art? Do you like chibi art?
Sometimes. My problem with this art isn't – I shouldn't say it's a problem. It'll work fine in the end, but –
Right.
They seem like two-dimensional flat cardboard cutouts of people, and I wish they add more depth to them.
Right. And it really looks that way. And I'm forgiving this game a lot because of what the developers have done so far. And the original developer, Thomas Biskup, who did the original game, has picked up a whole crew or team of people working on this project. And they are hell-bent on bringing this thing to full fruition. So they're promising bi-monthly updates even after early access. Currently, though, when I'm playing, I'm enjoying But there's a lot of times when I'll hit roadblocks, like I'll pick up a scroll and I'm like, oh, cool. And it's like, I'll try to click every way which I can to use it. And I'm like, then I'll go look and I'm like, oh, they haven't implemented that.
That doesn't work yet. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and then I was using a bandage and I was like, oh, I need to use this bandage. I'm like, why can't I use this bandage? We could look it up. Oh, it hasn't been implemented yet. So there was a lot of times where I would be playing along and having a good time and then would get stopped. Now, the way I look at
something hilarious, by the way, I just noticed.
What's that?
You did the same thing I did. So the game has a descend to the next level option or an ascend level option.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't really do that, but basically you can choose to go down to the next level like you would in a dungeon crawler or, you know, dungeon delver like this. Makes perfect sense. But if you hit the up one, it puts you back to the beginning of the one you're in.
Yeah.
And then it puts new, you know, dudes in it and everything. It's bad. That's bad.
It's bad. Yeah. It's bad. Yeah. And that's because, once again, it's early access. So that was the question I was going to talk about a little later, maybe in our discussion about, you know, what is too early access and what is not. And this particular developers, I have a faith in, and they have a track record. And I think they're going to continue to move forward with early access. So I think releasing early is fine, but maybe I should have waited a little longer before I played it. I don't regret playing it, but I did get into points where I was getting frustrated. But the whole game, though, is just full of just fun little stats. I mean, if you ever played a game and you're like, oh, I just hit that bad guy, and I really feel like that should have created more damage on that guy because he's still standing. What's going on? Every time you hit something, it's logged. So, like, there's logs constantly of dice rolls, right?
Right.
And effects and how they affect your character and how they affect the other character that you're attacking. And so it's like playing, you know, a quick round of D&D where you're just like throwing dice.
It is. It's like hyper D&D kind of.
Yeah. And you just get to, you could look and you go, oh, okay, well, I see why, because my character's weapon, this, and it's like, oh, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I try not to get too hung up in that because I was really just delving deep into stats, which is fun on a personal level, but when you're doing it for a stream, I stream this, by the way.
Yeah.
And when, you know, it's really boring watching somebody going through their gear, you know, it's like, okay, I got to pull up my bag here and got to look through here. Let me compare these two items. All right. You know, there's always so much fun you can have watching it, but playing it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Except for the
camera. I agree with all this. It's funny. You haven't changed the camera at all. I've noticed in your playthrough, you're playing it pretty straight.
Yeah. I didn't even realize until the very end of my stream that I could like zoom in and out. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Not only that, you can rotate all around and be like fully, you know,
I didn't do that at all for my entire run through until the very last second. When I was getting ready to log out and I was trying to figure out how to log out. By the way, there's the keyboard shortcuts. There's so many. This is definitely a keyboard game. I heard some people say, oh, I like to play with a controller. I'm like, I don't know how you do that because there's so many key combinations of stuff you need to do to be able to do anything. And one of the complaints that people have is that there's no customization on the keyboard yet, which I'm sure that's coming eventually. But
yeah, that'll get here.
It'll get there. But this takes a lot of... Again.
You did push it. When he goes,
I'm making a lot of the same mistakes over and over.
But
again,
when he flies across the level, it's hilarious. Like it just looks wrong when he does it. Like that's maybe if I had a complaint, it would be. I don't know. I'd never played the first one, but I also have played a bunch of games like it, and there's tons of games that pulled inspiration from this. Turn, you know, take every step as a turn, sort of things. These exist in lots of ways, mobile games and lots of PC games and whatever. So this is nothing new, and they all owe a little gratitude, I think, to this and a couple of other, you know, ones that sort of innovated. Oh my gosh, you're about to die. Look at all those guys.
Oh, I know. It's so bad.
That's really bad.
I loved it.
That looks great. But anyway, so I'm really into it from just a base level thing. But what I just feel like everything's so stiff. Like it's just like my guy is barely animating and those characters aren't really doing anything. And they're just sort of leaning toward each other. And again, early access means they've got time to polish all this stuff up. Maybe some of that will change. That would be good.
And it's funny because the animations, it's like, oh, it's like that wasn't a, you know, all these characters are very stiff. Like you said, they don't really move. It's like South Park, you know, it's like they just kind of bounce back and forth, and they don't even bounce very much. There's not like a lot of breathing motion going on like you'll see in a lot of games. They'll just add, like, especially mobile games, you'll have just like a breathing effect where your characters is kind of like up and down constantly. No, this guy's just solid. I mean, he just bounces around all over the place. But yeah. Then again, you look at some of these effects, like when there's materialization of an enemy, yeah, which they do spawn while you're standing there. It's like this nice little green smoke that comes up. So there's a lot of good animations in it. It's just not in the character animations. So I'm not sure if that's something that they're even going to change, or if it's just going to be their style.
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what they're going to do.
Right.
But so far, it does feel like a pretty reasonable recreation of what they're aiming for. And
right.
I'm down for the experiment. So, you know, I'll keep checking.
I'm excited to see where it goes. Once again, like I said, it's... to me, this may just have been about 5 minutes too early access for me, because if I can't even, there's the components of health, mm-hmm, power, but there's also a component of satiation where you gotta consume food,
yeah,
and that's not even implemented. So it's there, but it's not implemented. And there's some other, I don't think it's magic, but there's another component. I forget which one it was, but it was also not implemented. So I would say game breaking. I mean, if I was, I would expect those things to be there, because I totally come to a dead standstill, because a lot of these items, you can't see what they do until you equip them or use them in some capacity. And since they're not active, unless you went through and read everything in the release notes and go, oh, we're not doing that.
Yeah, that's
okay. If they're not doing that, all right.
Stuff that's in the game that is just placeholder and isn't working yet is frustrating.
Right. But the audio stuff, I'd like you to play that intro dialogue.
Oh, yeah,
and maybe some of the general audio too is spot on so far.
Yeah, here you go. It's you know what I forgot to do? Hey, everybody, check it out. A little tourist audio. Then I'll play it. Hold on. Here he is running around. Now he's outside. There's no voice work in his game. Oh, now he's in a building. Runs over the side of the room. Turns on TV. Runs around, turns on the shower, gets a coin. It's adorable. All right, here's Brian for real. This is the intro to Adam, which I think is actually pretty funny. Personally, it's a little overwrought.
Makes me laugh. Love it.
The world of Ancaradia, a lush, peaceful place where mannequin coexisted for eons. Until one day, chaos charged forth and began corrupting any life it encountered, turning good into evil, life into death. Many warriors fell in battle until an unknown hero finally came face to face with Andor Dracon, the Lord of Chaos himself, the mighty...
It's absolutely ridiculous. Sounds like Antonio Banderas has gotten old or something. This is like
it's like Banderas is trying to pull out Indiana Jones's heart. That sounds like that guy.
Right. But I love it. It's so spot on, because I mean, look at the name of this game. It's Ancient Domains of Mystery. Yeah. So I mean, I think it captures the spirit of it 100%.
Well, here's some of the audio of the game. Walking around.
This is me about to encounter that large horde.
Oh, is that what this is?
I believe so. Oh, crap. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, anyway, you get a lot of that. So I think all that stuff is to completion. The audio it felt very complete. So
yeah. It's getting there. Yeah. So do check it out. It's up there on Steam right now. It is called Ultimate Adam, A-D-O-M, by the way. Is it Adam?
Adam, I'm not sure. Like I said, Ancient Domains of Mystery is what the acronym stands for.
Yeah.
So I guess you just say however you want to, because there really would be no really.
That's right. It's an acronym. Who cares?
Yeah. Right. So yeah, just say how you want to. Now, I would give this 5 turns out of 10 I died against until access is less early.
damn it. Because I keep forgetting the stupid review. Okay, keep going. Sorry, keep saying what you're saying.
And the reason why I'm giving it a 5 out of 10 is not that it sucks. 5 is an absolute median score. It's right in the middle. I really have feel like I haven't played this game yet. I've had a taste of it, and I will reserve my true rating once I get a little further along. Big updates bi-monthly, according to the developer, so we're going to see.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. Well, there it is. Get it now before it's too late. No, actually, it's in early access. It won't be too late. Just wait for it.
No, it just came out, the 23rd or something? And if you had it came out the 18th. If you grabbed it before the 23rd, it would have been cheaper. But right now, it's $20 early access. And they're going to keep developing this thing. I would trust this longtime developer, Thomas Biskup. He hasn't ever stopped on the Atom series. So I think it's going to keep.
It's his life's obsession, sounds like.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
into it. All right. Now, this.
It's a me, Mario.
All right. We're going to play a game called Guess My Game. And Brian and I brought sound clips of older games. Brian's is from 1999. Mine's from 2006. And we're going to play them. And then the other person's going to try to guess what it is. So, Brian, 06 is my game.
Okay. 06 is your game. I'm going with 06 then.
Yeah. Further back than you think. It's 14 years ago. And it is probably pretty easy. I'm not totally sure if this is going to go well, but I'm going to play it, so enjoy.
Jimmy, please say something.
James?
What? Who are you? Mom, I thought you told me never to talk to strangers.
Like I said before, Jimmy, please be nice to your new stepfather.
Okay, rich guy. I love it that you're twice as old as my grandfather and you're fat and bald.
That's enough! I've had it with you, you little brat.
All right, what do you think?
Now... is it Bully?
Yes, it's Bully.
All right.
Congratulations.
Good. Yeah, I was thinking that had to be Bully. I didn't. You know how many times I started that game?
Same.
Just for the introduction.
Same. I played it.
And never played it through.
I think I've tried to play it 6 times. There's nothing wrong with the game.
No.
It's great.
It's good.
It's just, I don't know why. I never got very far.
I never could either. That's the reason why I knew that intro stuff so much.
Yeah.
I only watched it like 100 times.
I know. I saw it a bunch of times too. And I want to say, let's see, 06, that would have been PS2 still. I don't think that thing had a direct port to 360 or PS3. I'm entirely sure about that. I don't remember. But yeah, Bully, that's the one. Point and click. Get London.
Oh, was there a 2?
No. There was never another one, was there? Was there another Bully? I know they made a remaster of sorts at some point, maybe PC version or something. Hold on.
Right. Oh, is it a Bully 2 trailer from 2020? What is that?
Did that never
happen? Oh, they canceled
happening?
It, maybe.
It got canceled? Oh, yeah, here it is. Bully Scholarship Edition was a version they made of the game for the 360 that came out in 08. That was a beefed up version of it that looked better than the
PS2. They worked on it for 18 months and it just fizzled out.
No Bully 2? Oh, man.
Oh, I probably would have not played it either. I probably would have. It always excited me when I see it. Like, oh, I want to play Bully. And I'm like, oh, that's right.
And the kid does look like Bobby Hill. You guys aren't wrong.
Yeah, it does.
Totally does.
It does look like Bobby Hill.
Anyway, there's mine. Brian, you did well. Now I'm going to play yours. Let's see if I do well. I have no idea what this
the
is except 99.
1999.
Console, PCs, both.
I believe I played this on the PC, but it was also available for the Dreamcast or Macintosh operating system and DOS.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to the Ramsey Center UNN recruitment facility. Please watch your step when leaving the train. The grav shafts at the end of the hall will take you to the street level training and recruitment center. Please proceed to the grav shafts. Step into the grav shafts to proceed to the street level recruitment.
Nine.
Before you choose your career, you'll want to learn some basic abilities. First, you should go into the basic training center. When you're done with basic training, proceed to the advanced training area.
Is that DSX?
To pick up some basic skills you'll need to get by in the service. And no, this
not, but I'll give you another hint. Okay. I talked about the remake earlier in the show.
Oh, okay.
Welcome, trainee. While you're in our virtual training courses, we provide you with a simulated cyber interface. This training interface is identical to an actual military grade.
I have no idea.
This is System Shock 2.
Oh, System Shock 2.
Son of a cow, Patty. I thought you might have gotten that one.
Yeah, but I should have. I played System Shock 2. I know that game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
weird. I played a lot more of 1, but I liked 2, but I think I played more of 1.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I remember my... So System Shock spawned BioShock is like the big fart from that, right? Like that's what...
Right.
That's the eventual outcome. And BioShock really got me. I loved that series.
It killed it.
Yeah, and I think it partially made me forget about System Shock 1 and 2 a little bit.
It probably
just, or it's all kind of bled
it,
back.
When you go back and if you go back and look at it, you're like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it's not what I remember.
Oh my lord. All right, well, you win, I lose. Oh, that's too bad. But that's okay.
We both win when we both get it because that means I picked a good clip.
That's right. Damn straight. Yeah. Hey, check it out. Speaking of picking good chips out of the bag, that's not what you said. You said clip. We got an email. This came from us or to us from Justin from Arkansas. That's also known as Arkansas down in the South, but up here we call it Arkansas. And he says this, good. Scott and Brian, it seems the best games nowadays are indie games and the huge publishers are lagging behind. This is a generalization, but I'm sure you know what I mean. What do you guys think this means for the future of the gaming industry? Mo money, mo problems. Justin from Arkansas. Well, I'm going to make a recommendation here if you haven't seen it. The guys over at NoClip made a 5 or 6 part documentary, something like that, for the making of Hades. So they followed Supergiant Games around. Not Supergiant Games. Supergiant?
Supermassive.
Supergiant.
Supermassive? No, it's Super...
No. Super big.
Super massive
games. Supergiant. I'm going to find this because it's going to piss me off. Oh, yeah, it is Supergiant Games. So they Supergiant hung around...
Games, yeah, right.
They hung around those guys and ladies for the entirety of the process of it, from getting it ready for early access launch on at the time the Epic Store.
Epic.
And right. Then working toward the Steam launch and then working toward 1.0, dealing with the pandemic and all that stuff. Even if you have no or even just a minor passing interest in what Hades is and why it's as successful as it was or any of that, forget about all that for a second. You should watch this to see the process, because what you get to see is a small group of people deal with big problems, big switcheroos, big last minute changes, big, but do it with small group solutions. And there's something to be said for that. There's power in less of you handling the big problems than there is about a giant company where one guy in a suit makes a decision that affects the entire company. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah,
there is something to that. So we think of it as just in games terms, like, oh, the games themselves are more innovative, or that cool mechanic, or this cool storyline, whatever. But this series had a way of making you look at it from a broader perspective of, like, running that business, and what does it mean to be in charge of a group of creative people who all come from very different backgrounds, have different personalities. How do you make that work? And not only work, but thrive. How do your best ideas come out? How do you give the best ideas in that environment? It was fascinating. It was very, very good. And I cannot recommend it enough. It's awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching that. And Justin, from my take on where the game industry is going based on the success of indie games and how the big AAA titles are working, I think this is going to be more of the same. I mean, I think we've seen this in the movie industry for a real long time. We've got a couple of films every year that are just, you know, that's where all the money goes to.
Right.
All the big money goes to a handful of games or movies. And then you have a bunch of smaller comedy dramas and different things that do just great. And I'm glad to see that the indie titles are getting a chance at showing their stuff, because I think that's where innovation happens.
Have for a while. The big difference now is that you can make a you can stay that and be that all for as long as you want. You don't have to go mega huge.
Right.
You
know? The distribution has totally changed. And that really started with PlayStation, I think, for me anyway. I mean, of course, there's been indie games for a long time, but I feel like when Sony really started pushing and saying we're going to do more indie games, I think that rippled throughout the rest.
The PC was already getting them. That was a known factor. You could argue Xbox Live Arcade was the first big push. and that Sony actually followed that. But then I would argue some of Sony's indie products were better and weirder and more tailored to me.
Right.
So whatever. The bottom line is those guys, indie projects all have a place now. And there is no such thing as a AAA game without something starting as independent. Like, there is no EA without their early days. There's no Activision or Blizzard or anyone else without their early days of five people in a room trying to come up with something cool. Like, even the biggest among us, the biggest studios who do the biggest releases, they started with something dinky. So regardless, the dinky successes are, we just call those right. indie hits now. It's just
the
difference.
Yeah, they took them out of the oven and they took their little shrinky dinkies and they added water back to them or something.
Yeah. So
stupid dinkies.
Anyway, I love that these games exist because it, I mean, hell, this whole show is based on it. So
yeah, I mean, sheesh, my personal consumption of indie games in the last 3 or 4 years have just taken off.
Oh, big time. It's most of my library. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost 90% of what I do. And the games I end up loving the most by the end of the year rarely are the big AAA games. Sometimes they are.
Right. Well, that's because expectations are so high and it's easy to be disappointed by big promises, Cyberpunk.
Yeah. And weirdly, one of the greatest AAA title manufacturers and publishers of all time, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Feels like an indie company now, weirdly. That's weird to say because they own a platform. They're worth billions upon billions. Like, it's not like I'm talking about a dinky little group of people making stuff, but their games, their actual first party games, feel like that. They feel like carefully curated, special little experiences that I only get outside of them. I get mostly from the indie world. So,
right. I think you don't feel the money that Nintendo spends. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You don't feel
it. I feel like when I look at Xbox or Sony, I'm like, oh, these guys are spending some money.
Right. Right.
Nintendo looks like, we're thrifty.
Chat room says, somebody in the chat says, indie kind of means smaller scope and lower budget. Not always. I mean, a lot of times, yes. And sometimes those things dictate it. Sometimes the project dictates a lower lower budget. But I know companies like Supergiant Games and others who don't want to get big. They like where they're at. They want to make what they want to make, and they don't want to go, our next project is a cooperation effort between us and Ubisoft. Not everybody wants that, because what that means is lots of lawyers and paperwork and people you don't want to work with and
relinquish all those nightmares. Control.
Yeah, keep your control. You don't need to be billionaires. Just be millionaires.
Yeah, just millionaires.
Yeah, that's what I say. Double Fine, another good one. Although Microsoft owns them now, so I don't know. Maybe they sold out.
Like I said, at some point, I guess you just kind of go, meh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, if I was Supergiant Games and I made like six amazing hits, and then let's say Microsoft came around and said, hey, we want to buy your company for $2 billion, I'd probably do it.
Right. What else are we going to do?
Yeah, I'd do it. Go ahead, sell out. You made the great games. I played them. Sell out. It's fine.
Right. So at a certain point in your life, you've said the things you want to say and sell out.
Yeah, go ahead and sell out. Retire. Make tons of money. You're a billionaire before you're 40. Well done. Okay. That's it for emails. Huge thanks to emailer. What's his name? I didn't write his name. Oh, Justin. Justin, thank you so much for sending that in. And tell all your friends in Arkansas
who
you think they're the best. Chicken Police. What? What the heck's that?
That's what I'm playing next week. Chicken Police.
Oh. I thought you said like Tourette's. Chicken Police. not Tourette's like the real condition. You know what I mean, people. Right. Where I'm just like spouting off it's like a safety word. Chicken Police. I don't know what Chicken Police is. What is that? What is this?
It's a noir adventure with a carefully crafted world, a gritty story, and lots of absurd humor. I don't know. It's got black and white cover art with big giant chickens with guns. I'm sold.
I'm also sold. So sell me on that next week. I have no idea what I'm playing yet, but I'll know by Tuesday. I'll tell you that.
I'll know by Monday. So
Worry about it, you guys. All right, that's going to do it for us. Reminder, you can find everything we're doing over there at frogpants.com/BOOP. Boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. You can find us on Twitter @BoopShow. You can find me @ScottJohnson, him @TheBrianDunaway. And follow our Twitch channels, Frog Pants and Brian Dunaway. No the on that, Brian Dunaway. Just Brian Dunaway.
No the.
Yeah. He plays all these games live. So if you want to see these before we talk about them, that's the way to do it. All right, Brian, before we go, any giant wisdom drops you want to make?
Wisdom drops. That sounds gross. I don't want to see no wizard droppings.
Good. That's pretty good wisdom right there in itself. Well done. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all very much. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
I love steam.
Command the Enterprise.